The devil can't stand it when you praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. Come on, Brother Melvin. We read it now. Grab your Bibles. John chapter 12, as we read to you a little earlier. Just want to read just a little more. And then we're going to move right on. God bless you again. Thank you to all these preachers and to their families. Thank you. Again, at verse 12, it says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A huge crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. And they shouted, praise God. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. God bless you. You may be seated. Been around church any length of time, you have probably is not even a good phrase or good word, but you have been to a Palm Sunday service. You've been to more than one or two of them. Based on what appears to be in the congregation today, some of you have been to a whole lot of them. And there's probably a likelihood that all of the profound and prolific preachers that you have examined and exampled in this lifetime, you've heard some Palm Sunday sermons. And I know I've got all my preachers with us today. We've got a good number of preachers, and they've all taken their moment to give a stab at a good Palm Sunday title for a Palm Sunday sermon. The choices or the selections of verse and scripture that one can lift up ranges from that which is on the point to that which leaves the imagination a little room to work. We typically choose to try to at least overwhelm, not underwhelm, blow the mind and not lose the mind by the titles that we throw before you on these Sundays. But I've often said, Reverend Elliott, that there are probably simple sermon approaches on these events, Resurrection Sunday, Palm Sunday, Christmas. But those are the Sundays really when preaching is the hardest, because you've done it so many times. I started a couple of weeks ago looking at Dr. Corbett where to go for Palm Sunday, because I've been preaching a long time, and looked like everything I read, I kept saying to myself, no, I think I preached that already. Every thought that I had come into my mind, every title that I thought sounded like a good title, sounded like a title I'd had before or a title I'd heard before. And you have to be careful with preaching, because if another preacher hears you preach a title that sounds like their title, they think they have been infringed upon. But I once heard a great preacher say that all of us are guilty of plagiarism to some degree. And so I sat down again day in and day out working myself toward the point of preaching. And I decided I just wasn't going to worry about no title. It's just Palm Sunday. And young folk would say, it is what it is. And so I looked at the story, and then again I found myself trapped, somewhat confined, somewhat spinning around, because the story is the story. If you've been in church for a little while, there's probably only a few angles that you probably haven't seen or heard in the story. I thought to myself, well, Leroy, let's go risky and let's talk about something way over here and then drive yourself back over there. But then I figured you'd lose the intellectuals if you did that, because then I would be accused of being a preacher that doesn't stay in the content of the context. It's fancy stuff right there. And so I sat again and again, and the days kept getting closer, and And so finally, about 4 o'clock this morning, I did like the songwriter said. I just threw my hands up in the air and began to wave them like I just didn't care. I said to myself, the fact of the matter is there's an afternoon service. Let them get the deep stuff then. I really wanted to stay on my theme and thought that I've been on for the last few weeks about getting better. But I saw something in the story. And within the story, beloved of God, there is so much life on its way to death. Jesus simply gives up himself. I was going to talk, Reverend Elliot, about the point of the preaching where the disciples go and secure the donkey. And for those of us who have been in church a little while and want to get a free cuss in, jackass. But I said to myself, no, I won't do that either. And then I thought about walking by the east gate and talking about the parallel between in Ezekiel where he departs from the east gate, but he comes, you know, but then the intellectuals would say to that, well, you know, Reverend, we've heard that one before too. But there's more life in the story. And in fact, what I really wanted to look at was how significant the substitute for sacrifice is misunderstood in the congregation of tonight, of this particular secular time. In other words, when I say substitute, there seems to be an effort to take Jesus out of the equation. Churches are funny, finicky places because there are churches now that don't have crosses. There are churches that don't call themselves churches. So there seems to be an effort to actually substitute the sacrifice for something more secular and suitable to the taste of a modern day church. I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that there's more to Palm Sunday than the pinning of a few palms on our clothing items and the imagination of palm branches and garments strewn all over the road. There is Jesus. We miss the Jesus in Palm Sunday. We like the shouting of Hosanna. We like the ride on King Jesus. We like all hail, but we miss Jesus. Jesus has to come. It's imperative. It's prophetic that he comes. And so I thought today for a few minutes, not long, that we would just see Jesus. The Greeks are interesting in that regard, Reverend Muriel, because when Andrew has an opportunity to spend a little fellowship with them, they really try to make it clear to Andrew that we really didn't come to see you. They just simply say, sir, we would see Jesus. In the text, you look at the text very carefully. It seems to me that Andrew was running his mouth talking about stuff, and it's kind of like that cutoff thing when they kind of throw their hand up and say, sir, we would see Jesus. It sounds like Andrew was trying to tell them about what they've been doing in the ministry and some of the things they've been doing and where they came from. And he's telling them the story about the loaves and the fishes. And he's telling them the story about Bartimaeus and telling them the story about the wine. And they throw their hands up and say, sir, we would see Jesus. And so, beloved of God, I really thought about it today, Eric. I said, listen, if we're going to come to church, we might as well see Jesus. That's really the point of the matter about Palm Sunday. The issue is not the palms. The issue is not the donkey. The issue is not the singing. The issue is, do you see Jesus? No. See, y'all almost with me. The point of the matter is, oftentimes, we are so clouded and camouflaged in the church that we miss the centrality of the point. The point is, in all the things that we see, we want to see Jesus. In all the things that we do, we want to do Jesus. In all the things that we are, we want to be Jesus. And so on this Palm Sunday, I ask a simple question. Do you see Jesus? Of all the things that's going on in your life right now, of all of the activities, of all of the frustrations, of all of the things you got to deal with today. I just heard somebody's phone go off. You just got a text message. But do you see Jesus? Of all of the things that are stirring through your mind, can you take your eyes and heart off of all of those things and see Jesus? I'm convinced, Reverend Elliot, that one of the reasons we can't worship like we ought to worship, and we can't sing like we ought to sing, and can't serve like we ought to serve, it's because we can't see Jesus. There's too much going on. There's too much, in the words of my grandmother, too much hubbub, too much noise, too much action. We need to sit ourselves down and try to see Jesus. What do you mean try to see Jesus? Well, I told you there's a heaviness that's been bothering us. And I realize now that the heaviness is to keep us from seeing Jesus. Five of y'all are almost where I am. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is what we want to see. The Greeks were right. Sir, we like your church. We like y'all cushioned pews. We like y'all chandeliers. Y'all got PowerPoint. But we would see Jesus. If you don't mind, sir, would you put all that other stuff aside? Would you not talk to us about the budget? Would you not talk to us about your escapades? Would you not talk to us about your vision right now? All we want to do is see Jesus. And if I can see Jesus, then I can feel better about my life. I didn't come to see you. Don't think much of you right now. I'm really not into you like that. I wish you'd quit nudging me. I wish you'd quit writing me notes. I wish you'd quit trying to get me to hate on what you hate known, because I came from cross town not to be with you, not to hear the choir, not to look at the pastor. I need to see Jesus. That's what's wrong with my life. If I'm to be honest with you, I've only got a few more notes. If I'm to be honest with you, I would have to admit to you that that's what's wrong with my life. I see too much of the wrong stuff. I'm hanging around too many of the wrong people. I'm involved in too many activities. I've got too many things on my agenda. I came all the way to Jerusalem for Passover when what I should have been looking for was the Lamb. Because my life has been so busy. One of the greatest mistakes that many of us make in the body of Christ is we get too busy. I will say to you, beloved of God, that I have discovered that if we had left some folk off committees and not given them titles, they would have saw Jesus. We messed you up because we took you from the central thing and try to make you the thing. Jesus helps us to understand. He comes, the whole city, we're there, the whole city, by estimate, 3 million celebrants. They're all shouting. Our imagination, our preaching profoundness makes us say that everybody was into it. I doubt that very seriously, because we can't get 200 to all be in it at the same time. It's the same Jesus. But again, the reason is because we don't see Jesus. Have you ever been to the parade and couldn't see, and everybody else is cheering and clapping and you standing back like this because you can't see? Oh boy, I just said something right there. That's why some folk can't worship. That's why some folks sit in church with their arms folded and rolling their eyes and sucking their teeth and make me want to cuss because they can't see Jesus. You're so busy looking at the back of other folk's head and looking at your frustration and looking at your bills and looking at your family and looking at what you're mad about. You didn't come here for that. You came to get on your tiptoes, climb up on a fire hydrant, get on top of somebody's building so you can see Jesus. You lost your focus. And then you wonder why they're clapping. You wonder why they waving. You don't see what they see. Jesus is really trying to get your attention. He really wants you to see him. I really believe, Dr. Corbett, that Jesus would like us to turn off our iPads, take off our Rolexes, go natural. Stop worrying about my title. Stop worrying about what Sunday I get to preach or why I didn't get to do the prayer. Why you didn't call my name. How you hurt my feelings. Y'all didn't let my child get on. You know, I think Jesus is trying to get y'all's attention. I think Jesus wants us to reboot.
Hit the reset button. Download and get rid of some junk files. So we can see him. See, we keep coming to the parade, Deacon Walker, but we don't get there early enough to get a good seat, a good visual place. You know you got bad eyes. You know you don't hear so well. Why are you way back there? Not in the physical sense. I'm just using this as an illustration. What I'm saying to you is, you know you got cataract conditions. And you know that you like the men, when he first came, he said, I see men walking as trees. It's really not that he can't see right. It's just that he doesn't see right. Some of y'all have figured that out. The reference point is bad. And so Jesus is really trying to get y'all attention. I think Jesus wants us to stop looking at furniture and flowers and teas and other ministries. Forget about that for one Sunday. Would you please forget who you are and try to find out who he is? Would you please take off your title? Get off your mule. Stop being you for a minute and try to be like him. But you can't be like him if you don't see him. Because he's not all this. He doesn't care about parking lots. He doesn't care about chandeliers. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the ambient temperature of the room. I don't go because they don't get the air right. That ain't going to never be right. Jesus says nothing. He says not one thing. He, if you read the text, there are no red letters at all. He doesn't say one thing. I think he doesn't say anything because he's not at this moment concerned about what he says, but that they see. See, sometimes we talk too much. Now, for a preacher to say that is very liberating. But the fact of the matter is, he really wants to be the center of everything. He's very deliberate in what he does not do. He makes the cause the cause. I'm preaching better than y'all here. What we miss sometimes is in the presence, we miss the prophecy. Because what he's doing, and if you read the text later, you will see that the Bible even declares that the disciples didn't figure it out till later. Why? Because they were caught up in everything else. They were. You listen, you got to know that you've been with Jesus all this time, 3 years and some odd months thereabouts by estimations. Now, they've never been in a parade like this. They've been to Passovers, but they've never come down into a city like they've never had it bringing like this. They listen, it's off the hizzy right now. They you gotta know they caught up in it. Them guys probably pimp walking in. And that's why the men would tell any sir that if we saw you in the parade, but sir, we would to you. You and I sometimes start pimp walking with Jesus. You and I get so caught up in the moment that because they let us sing, because they let us preach, because they call our name, that we start pimp walking and we try to be the center of attention. When in fact we need to step back. Yeah. So that the that was about salvation. Because if he does not come through the city, he can't save the city. I'm about to get deep. One of the reasons our churches will not grow is because we will not allow him through our city to save our city. We're so busy trying to outbuild and outshine everybody else that they don't see him because they're trying to get their eyes off us and we keep jumping in the way. Every time we think they're not looking, we throw a bigger party. Every time we think they're not looking, we do something else to get their attention. I'm preaching. And don't realize that the cause is the cause. So what is he doing? Three things. three things. First thing he's trying to do is connect the communities of heaven and earth. See, okay. Preachers, I'm glad y'all here. You do know that part where he said that will be done on earth as it is. See, y'all keep saying that, but y'all don't want to make that happen.
All right. All right.
What he's trying to do is connect the communities of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
But we like the dysfunctional divide. Because we tell Jesus to leave us alone and we'll see you when we get there. Leroy, you crazy. I know what I'm saying. That's why we live like we want to live. And then at the last minute, when we can't boogaloo and shuck and jive no more, we want to live holy and sanctified. All we're trying to do now is get in.
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to connect communities. He's saying, my Father and I are one. Be one with us. That means you got to see me. I wish it wasn't so heavy because this would be going real well. I can get through it. My Father and I are one. See, if you can't, okay, let me see. Reverend Elliot, I'm glad you're here. You're a good witness. Jesus has to tell the disciples when they say, well, show us the Father. Jesus looks at them and says, if you see me, they don't hang around. See, here it is. They hung around. They ate with him, slept with him, walked with him, talked with him, and Jesus had to tell them, if you have seen me. Leroy, you crazy. My Father and I won. Don't look at the parade. Don't worry about the palm branches. Some of y'all are going to have a hissy fit because they didn't give me no palm today. You didn't have a palm last week either. And Jesus was Lord. You got to see him. Second thing, Dr. Corbett, your turn now. What he's also trying to do is cleanse them of corruption. Because corruption is so common. Wonderful preaching illustrations, Pastor. Thank you. The Bible said that he would wash away their sin. That's not what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to come and drop the rules. That's how they got mad. He come to cleanse them of corruption because corruption has become so common and it happens in the church.
Yeah.
That's why when we try to cleanse the house, the house rises up against us.
Yeah.
I really believe that's why that heaviness came in. I think the heaviness read my sermon at 4:30. Watch Jesus now. They're throwing the branch. Jesus ain't saying nothing. He's just looking at them. But they're not looking at him. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when the Pharisees give their illustrative appointments to it. They say, well, look now, the whole world has gone after him. We know that's not true. Because after Jesus passed that section went home. They didn't keep following him. Why? Because they had corruption to attend to. They had to go set the temple up because it's selling time. Got to make some money here. And that happens in the church because we're selling cakes and pies. And we're doing fundraisers. And we ain't saving nobody. We don't even want to address corruption. Why? Because the corruption is deeply seated within. Folks steal from the house of God. Folk lie in the house of God. Folk come in and would rather remain than be redeemed. It's corruption. And if I can't have my way, I'll kill everybody else. I ain't going down without somebody going with me. That's why you get these testimonies of witnesses against. It's rare to find someone who will stand up and defend you and help you. But there's always somebody, because they feel corrupt or mistreated or slighted upon, that they want to bring you down too. Crabs. Don't look at nobody. He comes to cleanse them. And so when you look at what is happening, if you miss what's really happening, you can't be a part of what's happening. He comes to take away the sins of the world. That's cleansing. David comes to mind very quickly. I'll be done. David says, Lord, I know I'm jacked up. He didn't say it like that. And then some of y'all deep theologians are going to say, that ain't what he said. Okay, that's not what he said. What David says is, Lord, I know how I am. You're going to have to create in me a clean heart and renew. David said, I know I have messed up my relationship with you. Here it is, Dr. Corbett. Too many of you are caught up in relationship with people and are not fixing your relationship with God. And Jesus addresses that. He said, because you can't love folk that you see every day and try to say you love God that you don't see. And you know, he keeps talking about how this thing is out of balance. He said, How can you say that? He says, You can't keep going around. Out of love with me. Jesus said, you can't keep calling sin when you is sin. How dare you drag people in and want to adjudicate their lives when your life is messed up? Put down the rock. Put away the gavel. I'm the judge. In the words of Deacon Pigmeat Martin, here come the judge, here come the judge. Everybody knows. Here come the judge. Don't act like y'all don't know Deacon Markham. Y'all know. Here it is. Not only that, not only does he connect the communities of heaven and earth, cleanse them of their corruption because corruption became so common, but he wants to call them to collaboration that the kingdom be certified. Because Jesus is instructing them, and I know it's Palm Sunday, I'm not supposed to skip past Calvary and all that kind of stuff, but I'll give you a preview of coming attractions. Because what he says to them, again, go and make more disciples. Rudy, what it says to me is, somewhere along the line, Jesus knew that his efforts were not in vain. Jesus understood that some folk got it. He knew not everybody got it, but some folk got it. He knew that some folk saw him. And so he says, go, let me commit you. You would go into a collaborative action with me and make more disciples. Because he says, go make disciples of every nation. He says, Peter, you're going to be the rock, the church. And see, here it is. You and I often look at the church as salvation. But the church is not salvation. The church is the building. The church is people, all that kind of stuff like that. But what Jesus is saying to them is that I did that road trip thing. I came down. I did all of that. He said, but what I need are some collaborators. He said, I need some co-laborers. I need some folk that's going to do what I'm doing, because you, here it is. Watch this. This will thump some folk in the head. You can't do what I'm doing if you ain't who I am. And you can't be who I am if you haven't seen me. I don't need folk who've heard about me. I don't need folk who got grandmama's Jesus and uncle so-and-so Jesus. I need folk who have seen me. Jesus said, now I need you to go and make disciples. I need you to get involved in the activity, the action, and the application of disciple making. I feel good right along through here. Jesus says, the reason I can call you to that is because you have seen embodied in me singular sovereignty. I like that, Dr. Corbett. He said, you've seen that in me. You, when you looked at me, you said to yourself, hot dog, look at him. Ain't nobody like him. I see him operating with all authority. You remember the Roman centurion said to him, sir, I recognize something about you. How could he recognize? He saw him. He said, there's something about you. He said, the way you carry yourself, as Sister Anderson would say, you got a little swag about you. It's something about you, sir, that you don't seem to be concerned about public opinion. You don't seem to worry about people coming after you. You don't seem to worry when crowds walk away from you. You don't seem to worry when they lie and scandalize you. Jesus said, no, because I'm singularly sovereign. He said, I can handle things all by myself. He said, but what I would that you would handle some things with me. And so Jesus reminded him, he said, listen, a little while ago, they were singing songs about my sovereignty. They were saying, hail the King of Israel. And Jesus said, I didn't really mind them singing, but I would rather they have sung based on the substantive information of my sovereignty. In other words, if in fact you had known the moment that the king would come, you would have had kingly preparations in order. I believe the Lord is trying to tell us today that if in fact we really want to be disciples of God, we've got to learn how to get on the shoulders of others and try and get a better view of this thing. Jesus said, listen, I am the king. He said, I am God. I am all of that that you said I am, but there's more to my sovereignty than just you singing a song. In other words, you can't just sing about me on Sunday and then forget me and malign me on Monday. You can't just lift me up on Sunday and tear me down on Tuesday. You can't worship me on Sunday and then be worthless on Wednesday. You can't just come in here talking about triumph and then on Thursday live pathetically. You've got to live your life holy as unto the Lord. And Jesus says, as I am king and my Father and I are one, I am inviting you to come on and get on board. I'm inviting you to come in by the very nature and become servants of the Most High God. Why? Because whatever happens at the king's table happens to those who sit at the table. Look at your name and say, do you want to be there? Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus gives us one more illustration before I leave you. He said, because I came like I came and because I am who I am. Please understand, beloved of God, I'm not worried about opinion polls. I'm not worried about folk turning on me. I'm not worried about when folk don't lift me up. Why? Because he said, I am a conqueror without contemporary. He said, ain't nobody like me. I'm bad to the bone like that. He said, I walk like nobody walks. I talk like nobody talks. I can do like nobody can do. In fact, if you look at me, you ain't never seen nothing like this. Look at your name and say, I know that's right. Because I am like nobody else. And Jesus said, please understand, I'm not often swayed by crowds because crowds can be easily corrupt. He said, it doesn't take much for folk to turn on me. It doesn't take much for folk to get mad at me. All it takes is they don't get the job they thought they deserve. They don't get the car they thought they deserve. They don't get the house of the man they thought they deserve. And folk who were singing about me last Sunday will sit home and sulk next Sunday. But don't worry about it, saints, because I am the Lord. I am your God. I brought you up and I'll bring you out. And I wish I had just one witness that can tell somebody. I didn't come to see you today. I didn't come to sit by you. I didn't come to be sophomoric, but I would see Jesus. And if you don't mind for just a few moments, if you'll just tilt your head just a little bit to the left, I believe I can get a better view of the man. If you'll just quiet down in this section, I believe I can get a better view of the man, because I came to see Jesus. I came to see Mary's little baby. I came to see the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to lift up my hands and tell him, ride on, King Jesus. I can't wait to lift up my voice and tell him all about my struggles. Tell him how he brought me out. Tell him how he picked me up. Tell him how he turned me around. How he made a way out of no way. I wish I had somebody that could see Jesus. Is there anybody here today that's got your eyes on the prize? Anybody here today standing on your tiptoes trying to see Jesus?
Doesn't he look good, saints? Aren't you glad to see him today? Did he make a way for you? Did he put food on your table? Did he raise you up? Did he turn you around? Did he save you? Did he save you? Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? I'm saved. I'm sanctified and set free. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Did he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. I just want to see it. I didn't come this far to be obstructed. I got to take this opportunity to see him. Grandma said, you don't know the day nor the hour. I got to see him. And I would to tell you, beloved of God, don't get caught up in the crowd. Crowds are finicky. You ought to see him. You gotta look past all the hubbub. You need to see him. If you can't see him, move a little further down the route. Find your little hole somewhere. Because if you can't see him, you can't be like him. You can't sing about him if you ain't seen him. You can't serve him if you haven't seen him. So that's all I want to tell you. You need to see him. I know a whole lot of us like parades. We like big gatherings. We like show out opportunities. But there's a little song y'all sing right here. I put a little note right here. The song that says, it's not about us, but it's all about you. You imagine what our lives would be like if we just kept that theology? So we don't have to know all of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. If we can just remember, it's not about us, but it's all about you. It's about Jesus. That's what the song said. I put that like, it's about Jesus. Let's get ready to go. Stand on our feet together. Some of y'all ain't seen him in a while. Some of you have had your view obstructed. Some of you have moved too far from the route. You decided that you were just not going to go that Sunday. You imagine what happened to the people who decided not to go downtown that Sunday? They heard all that noise downtown and said, I wonder what's going on down there. Somebody said, well, you know, it's Passover. And they said, oh, Passover. See, routine. Routine will cause you to miss opportunities. They said, oh, yeah, I'll go tomorrow night. And then when people came home sweating, couldn't find their clothes. You know, if you threw your clothes in the street, it's not likely you're going to find your jacket again. Somebody will probably grab. Somebody said, that's Gucci. Get that. You know, you threw in a Gucci and you came out with a Walmart coat or something. I don't know. I know good when I threw Gucci in there. Somebody else saw that and said, shh. But you know, come on and say, what happened down there today? Say, we saw Jesus. Person didn't go say, what? I didn't know he was coming today. They said, well, didn't you read the scripture? No man knows the day, the hour the Lord gonna return. Now they running back downtown to parade over, the street sweepers cleaning up. He coming back? Not no time soon. Next time he come, he not even going to come on this street. So don't miss the Sunday to see him. Some of y'all came today. I ain't trying to start no trouble with you. I love you. Glad to see you. But I sure hope you didn't miss it. I hope you saw him. Crook your neck, climb up on somebody's shoulder, walk a pew. But I'm like them Greeks. Sir, I want to see Jesus. Now, if you can hook me up with that, we boys. But I didn't come today to look at you. That's why I keep my vision just above head level. Because you look at people, you get frustrated. You know, you look at somebody and you're trying to help them and they resist it. That's why I want to see Jesus. In my mind, I see him all the time. Why? Because he wants you to see it. For this cause, I came into the world, that men would see me. He said, then if I be lifted up, that's being seen. See, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all. I'll do it. Sometimes we preachers think we salvation. We ain't salvation. We in need of salvation. We don't have no salvation. We can preach it to you, but you got to make a decision. If I be lifted up, I'll draw. So today I want to lift him up. You in this room today, it's Palm Sunday, Celebration Sunday. Y'all a little slack on the celebrating part, but it's Celebration Sunday. Too late. But you ought to see him. Ask somebody along your pew, excuse me, I need to go see him. I didn't come today out of form or fashion. We like to say that. I didn't come today out of routine. I really need to see him. Because he's drawing. He's still drawing. Power of the cross. It's still real. Again, you know, we try to be careful on Palm Sunday not to get to Calvary too early, so we, you know, took a look by the way. But the fact of the matter is, we still need to see the church in its salvation movement. I said this some weeks ago. It's so rare anymore that anybody comes down the aisle. And we keep trying to tell ourselves, well, everybody here already saved. No, they're not. This is not an indictment. This is just an observation. Just like that heaviness that's still in the room. I still feel it. But what I'm saying is, if everybody in here was saved, that heaviness wouldn't be in this room. It wouldn't be here. The Bible said no unclean thing can dwell therein. There's some uncleanliness in here. That's all right. We're going to keep pressing our way, ain't we? We're not going to be deterred. We've been disturbed by it, but we're going to press our way. But if you haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior, you haven't seen him, tell that person in front of you, move over, I got to see him because I need to go to him. And the Bible says he's not here. You'll find him. He's never been lost. He's right there. If you want salvation today that's in Christ Jesus, our invitation is to you. You are our first priority, that you would be saved, and only Jesus saves. Dr. Corbett cannot save you. Reverend Elliott cannot save you. Reverend Murrell cannot save you. Pastor Mitchell can't save you. Deacon Walker, Deacon McKenzie, none of these, nobody can't help you. You need Jesus. And don't be afraid to tell somebody, excuse me, but I've been in this spot too long to not see him. Only Jesus saves. It's Palm Sunday. Them little things y'all got on, mine fell off. It didn't even stay on long. First of all, it stuck me, and that wasn't good. No, when it stick me, it's got to go. Next time, just get me a tree. Let me just carry the tree. But that's not your salvation. Jesus saves. Would you come today? Would you really come? I know y'all got to go. I want you to get you some lunch right quick. We'll see you at 3 o'clock at the prescribed place, but don't leave without salvation. Don't let this moment pass you by. I say this very quickly, and I mean it in all sincerity. Don't get enamored with preaching and the entertainment value of it or the enthusiasm of it. Stay focused on what we're preaching, and that be Jesus. I know Mrs. Scott just said, did he say that be Jesus? I know, Sister Scott. I was trying to get their attention. Every now and then I say something weird to get their attention. So they go, that is Jesus. Is there one today? My brother, my sister, my friend, even the stranger, would you come to Jesus? This is not about joining Greater Brookville Church. This is not about Rivermont. This is not about Canaan. This is about Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Grandma and them said, I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded. That's how we come. All of us came that way. None of us came in perfect condition. All of us had baggage. Amen. Some of us had extra baggage. But we came. Some of us came young. Some of us came a little later. Some of us, you know, came and came again and came back again. And Jesus said, I see you. But would you at least start now somewhere? Salvation is only in Christ. Would you come? We talk about redemption and we talk about restoration. We talk about reconciliation. Those things are absolute realities in the body of Christ. And so I would today that if you, on this Palm Sunday, Celebration Sunday, would you desire restoration? It's available to you. And it's not about us, because we're not going to ask you where you've been, what you've been going through, what took you so long. That's not the issue. In fact, that would just take up too much time. But if you want a restoration that's in Christ Jesus, come on, we'll pray with you. We'll put somebody with you. Got all these preachers, they'll come out and pray with you. And all you got to say to the Lord is, Lord, I desire to be restored. You don't have to write no dissertation, no essay, no thesis. You don't have to tell them your business. Just when somebody asks you, what'd you come for? Say, I came to be restored. And I know that just a little talk with Jesus is going to make everything all right. My misbehavior, my bad deeds, my proclivities, my vices will all be forgiven. Because I am going to confess with my mouth. I'm going to ask God for repentance. I'm going to say to him, I'm godly sorry. I'm going to say to him, Lord, I could have done better. I should have done better. I knew better. Now I just want to be better. And Lord, will you fix me today? Before the sun goes down, before I hit that step, Lord, I'm not going to leave without fixing on my agenda. Make me whole. And he'll do it. He'll do it. If you don't want to come out in the aisle, that's fine. You right where you are, just where you're standing, he can hear you over there just like he can hear you over here. He's the God of every place. God bless you, Sister Ada. But that's how he is. No, we got to do better than that. When people come, you got to do better than that. You want to celebrate, you know, when good things happen. See, we got to learn in the church to be celebrants. How would you feel if you came out and everybody just looked at you? No, I want somebody to go, yay! I remember when I was a young man, I hit my first home run. The crowd went wild. I ran the bases, threw my helmet and everything. Coach blew a gasket. Don't be showboating. I said, did you hear the crowd? He took me out the game. But I hit that home run. Never forgot that sound. I wanted it again and again. So when people come, that's how we keep people in the body of Christ. They know that the world may do whatever it does to me, but in my church, I'll be celebrated because I made one little move. So we encourage you to come. Amen. Can I get somebody to come and stand with my sister? Can I get somebody? Come on. Push. Thank you. Come on, Sister McKinley, Brother McKinley. There we go. Nobody should ever stand alone. About to say two together. Amen. Maybe there's somebody else today. You just need a little boost. You need a little push. God will give it to you. Bible says if you come, he will in no ways, no wise, for no reason, cast you out. He won't reject you. I've been rejected before. Anybody else been rejected? Oh, doesn't it feel terrible? Had my application turned down. My membership request. The boys wouldn't let me in the group. I felt bad. I looked around and said, well, if he in there, how he? No, but with God, no such problem. He will never say no. Amen. So maybe you just want to get on the team now. You're looking for a church home. You're looking for a place to grow in the Lord. And we believe in growing, don't we, church? Don't we, church? So we invite you to come and grow with us. If you're looking for a church home, our doors are open today. Getting ready to leave you now. We're going home. Amen. Good. Got what you want? It's on the table. All right. I want to invite you to do this. I know you're ready to go. It's right at 104. Good church time. I need you to do this. I need every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed as we focus on seeing the Lord. I want you to take out of your mind, if you can, please. The Bible says that you've got to think clearly and exercise self-control. I want you to set all things aside. Father, in this room today, we have battled all morning long. And Lord, we're not defeated, but we didn't come out with a clear-cut victory. For that rising up force, that defiant spirit, that lack of unity, it ran alongside us, Lord. But it didn't stop us from running. We still lifted up our voices and we still lifted up our hands. And I believe, Lord, the majority of this people heard something that's going to inspire them because they can see you a little better. They're not looking at the palm branches. They're not looking at the garments. They know the story. But now they see the singularly sovereign Christ, the Savior. This young lady came today, Lord, for prayers of a people and for the touch of a God who's like no other God. Now, you know exactly what the sister wants, and you know how to do it. A couple of people came and stood with her, and we appreciate that, but there's nobody standing next to her like you are. Nobody's put their arms around her like you have. Nobody's kissed on her face like you have. So God, meet her in the place that she's standing right now. If it's fear, Lord, take away fear. If she needs more courage, give her more courage. If she needs greater understanding, Lord, give it to her. If it's food, Lord, feed her. If it's health, Lord, restore her health. If it's finance, Lord, you know how to do finance. If it's relationships, Lord, you know how to do relationships. So what we're saying, God, is we trust you in all things because you're all things to all men and you do it so well. And then there are others, Lord, who are standing in this room who certainly, Lord, today would love a better vision of you, understanding that clarity is in Christ. We sing an old song down here that says, look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. And so, God, we are yielding today. Our inabilities rest in your ability. What we cannot do for ourselves, in ourselves, you can. You know all about us. You know everything that we can't tell nobody. And even some things we're not sure of about ourselves. Would you do that for us today? Take away the pain, the sorrow, the regret, even the evil intentions, Lord. Take away the plots, the schemes, the deception. In fact, God, corruption is everywhere. Cleanse this house. Would you steady us, Lord, that what we may have intended to do out of deception or disobedience, that we won't do it today, nor tomorrow, nor the day after. Where we had plans, Lord, to get off the path, would you make it so we cannot go to the left nor the right? Would you carry us when we're too tired to walk? And let us rest so that we can run. Please, God, again, be there for us. Thank you, Lord, for these who have gathered, and thank you, Lord, for those who desire to be with us. There are sick among us, And we pray, God, that you would heal them and bring them back to the fellowship real soon. Please, God, would you touch our husbands and wives, our sons, our daughters, our mothers, our fathers. And God, we're going to sound real funny right along through here, but would you touch our enemies? Because in fact, Lord, they can do us the greatest harm. Would you help us to fight the war that is within? Keep us focused, steadfast and unmovable. Keep us tried and true. Let us live in purity so that, Lord, our lights will shine and men will see. Give us this day. This is our prayer. Bless the evening service, Father. Bless that preacher. Bless that choir. We don't come for no foolishness. We want to see you. And Lord, let's get it started. And let's start it right now. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, celebrate with at least three or four people in your area. Come on, love on them. Be nice to them. Tell them, hang in there because it's better days ahead. Amen.